Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart." With all your heart. I know you know that there's more to that sentence, but I want us to keep "with all our heart" front and center this morning as we're talking and looking at God's word. Because today we're going to look at something that Jesus said that will help us love the Lord our God with all our heart. So let me pray. Lord, I ask that you'll speak to us through your word. I ask that you'll help us to understand it, and I ask that you'll help us to differentiate the concepts and understand how to apply these to our life. You've given us this command, lots of commands to follow. We're just looking at a very, very few today. And I pray that you'll bless our time and help us to learn and grow and mature. Amen. Elders, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak here this morning. I don't take that for granted. And to the elders who've been in active service, Randy, Larry, and Derek at the back there, I'm confident this sermon is going to be very encouraging to you. And as I look out, there's lots of men who have been elders in the past, and I want this sermon to be very encouraging to you as well. And to the new elders who have just started service, I mean very much for this sermon to be encouraging to you as well. And Andrew, I appreciate the careful oversight you provide for everybody who stands up here. I think that's great, and you're welcome to do that anytime as far as I'm concerned, so thank you. So our introduction. Well, early in his ministry, as you know, Jesus spoke the Sermon on the Mount. So this morning we're going to look at just one little bit of that from chapter 6, and it's this bit here. And this is our map for today. And before we get going, I want to draw your attention right to the very end where it says, "There your heart will be also," because this is the point Jesus is leading up to. And he's very, very clear. There is a real relationship between our heart and our treasures. And he's going to work with that. He's going to help us to understand this more. So let's look at the structure here a little bit. There's two things: do not store up and store up. Okay? Both of these instructions apply to us Christians as much as it did to his original audience. And in short, if we're going to live to store up treasures on earth, we fail. Whereas if we spend our lives to store up treasures in heaven, well, we're being obedient to Jesus. And I think that's what we're all trying to do. So Matthew 6:19 says this: "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." So store up. Probably know what that means, but in this sentence it means gather up, lay up, pile up, heap up. Storing up takes our time, our effort, and our thought. And our Lord does not want us spending our time, effort, and thought to store up for ourselves treasures on this earth. This is a declaration Jesus expects us to follow. Storing up for ourselves treasures on earth is not what a follower of Jesus is supposed to be doing. So where do these earthly treasures that we are commanded not to store up? Well, it's all the things money can buy that we covet, we're jealous for, or we envy that others have and we just don't. These are material things. They're valuables, possessions, collections, the things that overflow from our closets, the things we lock away hidden in our vaults. These are the buildings, the properties, and anything that increase our financial net worth beyond what we actually need. And I think that's the key, beyond what we actually need. Our actual needs are very different than this concept of storing up treasures on earth for ourselves, right? So we can earn money, we can earn wealth, that comes to us, and if we're doing the right thing, we steward that out properly in generosity to help others. It's when we generate this and we keep it for ourselves and we hold it for ourselves and we pile it up and it's way beyond what we can ever do anything with, that's the problem with storing up treasures, and that's the picture of storing up treasures on earth for ourselves. And I think there's a case to be made that some people have a spiritual gift for generating wealth. I don't know how you do it, but you do it. It's noticeable. You have extra responsibility to steward that well. That's your spiritual gift, I think. So here in Matthew 6:19, Jesus talks about treasures on earth. Now, I'm quite sure that you know what comes very soon after in the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about the things that we actually need. So you know this verse. Jesus says, "Do not worry, saying, what are we to eat? What are we to drink? What are we to wear for clothing? For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you." Got my line out of the wrong place there. So by faith, we are supposed to trust God to provide for our actual needs. That's on the right. And by faith, we live obediently to Jesus when we do not store up for ourselves treasures on earth, which are beyond the actual needs we have on this earth. So what's this bit about moth and rust? Well, moth and rust, they involve eating and they involve consumption. So basically, moth and rust represent all the things that destroy earthly treasures until they vanish away to nothing. There's just nothing left if they aren't stopped. Thieves, by contrast, they don't destroy earthly treasure, they simply take it away. It's still there somewhere, but it's not mine anymore. So if a thief successfully steals from me, my earthly treasure is gone. It's not mine anymore. And that means all that time and energy and thought I put into accumulating it, well, it just comes to nothing. And the ratio works against us. It's 3-1. Moth, rust, and thief never stop. And Jesus commands me, as he commands you, don't spend your time, energy, and thought trying to work against those three forces. Instead, he gives us a different command, a different way of life. And you know what he says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So let's look at the way Jesus has for us. That's in verse 20. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So this idea of store up, I want to take a moment so we can actually understand this. So those of you who love grammar, this is a present tense imperative verb. If you, like me, don't know what that means, we had to look it up, and here's what I think it means. To get the flavor for it, to get the sense of it, it means always, right now, continuously for your whole life, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And the grammar also gives an idea of just how tremendously forceful and authoritative Jesus is speaking here. It's like he's the supreme commander of the entire military, and he is ordering all the troops to do this. Not just some, everybody. Our King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the commander of the heavenly hosts, creator of all things, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, commands you, and he commands me, to always, continuously store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Now these two words, for yourselves, these aren't just filler words that translate Greek more smoothly into English. This comes from an actual word Jesus actually spoke in his actual sentence in the actual Sermon on the Mount. So let's compare two different things here. This sentence on the top does not equal the sentence on the bottom. The sentence on the top is the one that Jesus spoke. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So for yourselves creates a very different kind of meaning. So Jesus is not commanding us to all work together to store up a collective pile of wealth in heaven. He's not telling us that God needs treasures and we have to earn them for him either. That's ridiculous. But Jesus is very much commanding me to store up for myself treasure in heaven. And I have no idea why I'm going to need that. But Jesus says this. This is his command for me and for you. And I'm learning to do this as best as I can as well. Now, perhaps this makes you just a little bit uncomfortable. To be honest, it made me uncomfortable too, but I've just had a lot of time to think about this and study this before presenting it to you this morning, so I want to look at this a little bit more deeply. Storing up treasures in heaven does not equal greediness. Why not? Because storing up treasures in heaven is about our hearts, not our stuff. Jesus created our hearts. He created our hearts to want to store up treasure. Jesus does not tell us to stop wanting to store up treasure. but he is telling us to store up the right treasure in the right place. He knows our hearts. So here's how this works. If I spend my time, my energy, and my thought to store up earthly treasures, well, that's the same as living for more earthly treasures, and that does equal greed, and that actually equals idolatry as well. Because that's what my heart would be oriented to. I want more, and more of something that isn't the Lord. Whereas if I spend my time, energy, and thought to store up heavenly treasures, that's the same as living to have more heavenly treasures. Well, that's obedience, and that will be rewarded by the Lord in heaven. So to call this greedy actually is to call what Jesus says blasphemous. That is not going to store up treasures in heaven for anybody if we do that. So Matthew 6:21, for wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And now we arrive at Jesus' main point here. Remember, Jesus is deeply concerned with our hearts. So where? Where do you want your treasure? Do you want your treasure here on earth, or do you want it with God in heaven? Take your pick. You have the choice. We all do. Because Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I think this is interesting because I'm not standing in heaven right now, neither are you. And yet, even now as we live on this earth, we can focus our heart to heaven with the Lord in this kind of way. This is very practical. This is very helpful. But how do we live this day today? How do we take all this and do something with it? Well, I think it's actually already very practical because all day long we have hundreds of opportunities to make decisions. So that gives me hundreds of opportunities to obey Jesus. That gives me hundreds of opportunities to consider whether Jesus might reward me for what I'm doing or not. And the point of that is every time I consider that, I'm focusing on Jesus. Jesus, 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 all day long. And it comes easily because my heart naturally wants to build treasure, place it with the Lord, follow him. And I think we need to approach this like an apprenticeship, because I think we'll actually figure this out better if we have conversations with other mature believers where we can talk about how we're doing this and figure this out. Because the reality is, a sermon just can't do that. Whereas a one-on-one dialogue with somebody else, it can. Because our high commander Jesus, he has commanded us, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Either we obey him or we don't. But his command is very clear. So I think we've got a good handle on what this command here is in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's interesting, there's many other places in the New Testament where this idea is picked up. Jesus, the Apostle Paul, the Apostle James, the author of the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Peter, they all provide more instruction to help us understand this more fully. We'd be here a long time if I tried to go through all of those. So I'm just gonna pick two examples. I think they're really clear. And these are examples of what not to do. Okay, like I think it's very helpful just like at least don't do these things. So from James, come now, you rich people. Weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have corroded, and their corrosion will serve as a testimony against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Likewise, Luke, Jesus said this, but God said to him, and I know you know the story, this is a rich landowner who built bigger barns to store up his big pile of stuff and just sit on it, I guess. To which God said, you fool, this very night your soul is demanded of you. And as for all you have prepared, who will own it now? Such is the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich in relation to God. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. It is remarkable that the way we live on this earth will determine the treasures we receive in heaven and also the position we're given in heaven. Do you know that? Do you live like you know that? Is what I'm saying even true? And I say, well, don't take my word for it. Let's look at what the Bible teaches about that. And for that, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians. But before I do that, I really want to be clear about something. This treasures in heaven stuff has nothing to do with earning salvation. Nothing at all. Nothing. We don't buy our way into heaven. None of these treasures count for anything as far as obtaining salvation is concerned. Storing up treasures in heaven is a way of life that Jesus is presenting to us. His way for us to follow. Our foundation is Jesus. Our salvation is Jesus. So let's look at this. This is a sermon all its own, so I'm just going to highlight some few things, but I hope this is familiar. This one is on my mind a lot. I'm very happy to be able to talk to you about it this morning, just maybe get it off my mind a little bit. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet only as one through fire, only as though through fire. The foundation is Jesus, and we are supposed to build on him, a life that's worthwhile. And we have the freedom with how we build. So this business about gold, silver, precious stones, these represent in a metaphorical sort of way things that earn us heavenly treasures. Wood, hay, and straw, by comparison, and the opposite, represent metaphorically things that will burn up to nothing, things that have absolutely no heavenly treasures attached to them. We can live our life either way. We're still saved, but we can live our life either way. But treasure or no treasure, he himself will be saved. All of the people this verse is talking about are already saved. What are you going to do with your life in Christ is kind of the idea here. So when does this testing occur? Has it happened yet? No. Because I think we all know that everyone must stand before Jesus to receive judgment someday. Okay? I don't know if that sends a little chill down your spine, but do you know that there are two different lineups? And there's two different lineups because there's two different judgment seats. Do you know that? Christians have their lineup, and everybody else has their lineup. Can you believe me right now? How do I know this? Well, honestly, for most of my life, I didn't know this, and then Steve tipped me off to it. I believed him, but I also looked in the Bible for myself, and here's what I found. This is the one I think we're familiar with. It's from Revelation 20. This is John writing. He's seeing things in heaven. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it. I saw the dead standing before the throne, and the dead were judged according to their deeds. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Well, that's terrifying. But the dead, it's a specific reference to non-Christians only. The Christians, if you read the rest of the chapter and the earlier part of the chapter, were already resurrected. We're already reigning with Christ before this ever happens, before anybody is called before this throne. The non-Christians line up in front of the great white throne, not us. No Christian will ever appear before the great white throne. That should be good news. So where do we line up? We're going to have to look to 2 Corinthians 5 to find that out. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive compensation for his deeds done through the body, in accordance with what he has done, whether good or bad." We is a specific reference to Christians only. That's the context the Apostle Paul is writing in for this chapter. And this judgment seat, you'll notice it's not called the Great White Throne because it's not the same thing as the Great White Throne. I could throw some Greek words at you, but I'm not going to. I'll just keep it in English. The Great White Throne is not the judgment seat referred to here, because this judgment seat, the purpose of it is for the handing out of rewards. It's like an athlete who's competed, won the prize, goes up to whoever's going to put the medal around their neck. That's the idea here. Every person who stands before this judgment seat will enter heaven because everyone who stands in front of this judgment seat is a believer. That's our lineup. The question is whether you're going to enter heaven with treasures or whether you're going to enter heaven empty-handed. But you're going to enter heaven, so still a big prize. And hopefully, you're starting to be convinced, or maybe you're very convinced at this point, that we really are actually supposed to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. So I want to highlight just a few Bible verses here that are some very clear guidelines for us. Again, there's tons, but I'm just going to pick a few. So here's one. It's from Matthew. Jesus says this, "But as for you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So, the things we do quietly and secretly for the Lord are storing up treasures for us in heaven. Revelation 3:21, "The one who overcomes, I will grant him, or her, to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne." This is pretty wild. If we overcome persecution, we can earn the highest treasured position in heaven, to sit with Jesus on his throne. That's a big deal. I got a few more final verses, and I really, really do want these to be encouraging. I want these to motivate us. I want these to remind us, like, this is real. Jesus really does mean this. So this one comes from 1 Peter. "I urge elders among you, shepherd the flock of God among you, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." Elders, there is a special reward in heaven for you, for those of you who have been faithful elders, either present or past or yet to come. 1 Thessalonians, Paul's writing, "For who is our hope or joy or crown of pride in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? Or is it not indeed you? For you are our glory and joy." Think about this. Every person you lead to Christ, lead to salvation, is a treasure in heaven that you get to enjoy. I think that's very motivating. And this one, Revelation. So this church is being persecuted. Jesus speaks to them. "I know your deeds. I'm coming quickly. Hold firmly to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. The one who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it anymore. And I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, and my new name." These are massive treasures. If these don't jump out at you as unbelievably generous from God, well, I encourage you to talk with somebody and figure out just what a big deal Jesus is offering here. And lastly, this one. "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In the future, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and live a righteous life according to the way of Jesus, and you will receive treasures in heaven." Our supreme commander, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the commander of the angel armies, the faithful and true rider on the white horse dressed in fine linen, white and clean, who leads all the armies of heaven, our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, commands us, his followers, this. And let's read it together. "Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I'm going to pray. Musicians, you can come on up. Lord, you've given us your command. You've told us what to do. You've helped us set our priorities properly. And we ask for your help to do that. We ask for your Spirit to guide us, to fill our, to inform our conscience, to fill our mind, to remind us decision by decision that we have the opportunity to choose rightly and obey you, or choose wrongly and just miss the opportunity. So Lord, I ask that you'll grow us, mature us, bless us with your word, change our lives, I ask. Amen.